Well, probably one of the last things you'd have thought you'd have come to church and gotten to hear. Tim McGraw, help us preach. Is that all right?
Yeah.
Welcome to LifeGate. We're glad you're here. If this is your first time or one of your first times, we hope you've enjoyed yourself and hope that you get ministered to. We spend a lot of time and effort attempting to provide a place and a service for you so that you'll sense the presence of the Lord. We believe God's got some great things for your life. We believe He has some wonderful things that He wants to do in you and through you and with you. He wants to make your life abundant. He wants to heal your body if it's sick. He wants to heal your family if it's sick. He wants to save you in every area of life. Not only take you to heaven when you die, but He wants to give you a life and that more abundantly right now. Amen. So if you're not in a hurry after the service and I've not met you, I sure would like to. So if you'll hang around a few minutes, I'd love to shake your hand and get to meet you. Well, it's New Year's, or just about, right? Next time we see each other or come together, it will be 2005. So this is always the last Sunday of every year. What we do is we have our New Year's message. You know, it's the message that we have to try to terminate one year and transition into the next year. So my title today is New Year 2005. What did you do with it? What did you do with it? If you have your Bibles, I hope you do. And if you don't, that's okay because we'll have them on the screen for you. But I'd like you to turn to some scriptures. Maybe Psalms 39 and 4 would be a good one. And Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 17. And if you'll be turning, I'll be praying. And then we'll get into the lesson. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for the wonderful opportunity that we've had to come together and sing and praise you, pray together, and worship together, and hear noises together. So, Lord, I just ask you to be with us now, Lord. And I pray for myself, Lord, that the things that I say will be interesting. I'll be interesting to listen to. I won't talk too fast. I won't talk too slow. And the things that you will be saying through me, Lord, will touch our hearts, change our lives, and we won't just have had another church service, but we really will come to the place where we'll be living like we're dying. And I ask you to bless us today and be with us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, next Saturday begins 2005. Another year has gone by. Can you believe that? You know, the older I get, the faster these years go. It's amazing to me. It seems like they're like in rocket speed. You know, they're just going so fast. And it's this time of the year that all the news media begins to project their 10 best or 10 most responded to newscast or the 10 highest news stories that they rate them. So I want to show you these. You know, just I'll give you one station's 10 top news stories. And it's the number one is the presidential elections. Number two is the war in Iraq. Number three is the deadly hurricanes that hit Florida. Number four was the Abu Ghraib scandal photographs. Number five was the same-sex marriages. That was an interesting deal going on, wasn't it? Number six, war against terrorism. Number seven, Iran and North Korea pursued their nuclear weapons program. Number eight, former President Ronald Wilson Reagan died on June 5. Number nine, Israeli-Palestinian conflict continues. Of course, involved in all of that is the death of Arafat. And then number 10, the economic recovery. Now, I like the economic recovery, didn't you? I thought that was good. That would probably be my number one. I really like that one. But every year, the news media gives us the news events that were the top things of the year. Now, my point in bringing that to your attention is, what were your top 10 events? What happened in your life in 2004 that is worthy of memory? What took place in your life this year that you could list as a top event in your life? Did anything change in your life? Did you move? Are you still sitting at the end of 2004 where you were sitting at the beginning of it? What took place in your life? What are the top events of your life for 2004? Now, next year, I will be doing the year in review next week. And what that is a conglomeration of all the things that LifeGate has done over the year. I take snippets of our services and things that we've done outside of here, and I put them together in a video that I hope I can keep under an hour. And we see it all, and we all see the things that we did. And I think that LifeGate did a great job in 2004. We really did some wonderful things, and we redeemed some time, and God really used us. But how did He use you? What did you do with the time God gave you in 2004? What did you redeem with it? What happened in your life? What did you do with it? As you saw the video, Tim McGraw, that's the number one hit in country music. And what it's about is a guy who finds out in his early 40s that he's got a terminal illness, a disease, and about how he lived his last days. I want to read you the chorus to that song. It says, I went skydiving. I went Rocky Mountain climbing. I went 2.7 seconds on a bull named Blue Manchu. And I loved deeper. And I spoke sweeter. And I gave forgiveness I'd been denying. And he said, someday I hope you get the chance to live like you were dying. See, in actuality, we all get the chance every day to live like we're dying. See, our time here is limited. And so, in fact, we really are getting the opportunity to live like we're dying. Every day brings you closer to that day. Every day takes us to another day closer to that day. The last verse of that song says this, like tomorrow was a gift and you get eternity to think about, what did I do? What did you do with it? What did you do with it? What did I do with it? What would I do with it? So I'm asking you, what did you do with it? Did you make the year count? Are you any more different today at the end of 2004 than you were on January the 1st of 2004? What did you do with it? Psalms 39:4 says this, show me, O Lord, my life's end, and the number of days of my days, let me know how fleeting is my life. I like the way the New International Version translates that, and it says, Lord, remind me how brief my time on earth will be. Remind me that my days are numbered and that my life is fleeing away. Well, the Lord is reminding you today. The Lord is reminding me today. And He's asking you, what did you do with it? What have you done with your life? What did you do with your life in 2004? Have you loved deeper? Have you spoke sweeter? Have you given forgiveness that you've been denying? What have you done with 2004? What have you done with it? Ephesians 5 talks about time. And verse 15 of Ephesians 5 says this, see then yet that you walk circumspectly. Now that word just simply means carefully. Not as fools, but wise. See, we should be wise about our time. Verse 16 says, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. See, it's evil to waste your precious time. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Time is very important. We are to understand time. We're to redeem time. We're to capture time. What did you do with the time of 2004? There were 12 months, 52 weeks, 365 days, 8,760 hours. What did you do with it? What are the top 10 things that happened in your life in 2004? What are your top 10 news events? Every year I enjoy reflecting back upon what LifeGate accomplished in the previous year. I love seeing all the things that we were able to do and all the things that we were able to accomplish. And I always ask that question, did we make the most of every opportunity? See, that's what Ephesians says, making the most of every opportunity. Ephesians 5:15 in the NIV Bible says, be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but wise. Live wisely. Making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Did you make the most of every opportunity? Can you guys hear that out there? Can you hear the music, the radio coming in? I mean, they can. We can hear it on the front. Maybe you can't hear it in the back. So let's see if we can work on it. I didn't think you did. That's why I stopped and said something. I put a lot of time and a lot of effort into the year in review, and I really want you to come next week and see it. It was a great year for us, and God really did allow us the time, the ability to redeem the time for the year. I want to ask you, though, you know, I believe LifeGate improved in 2004. I believe that we were able to do a lot of things, and we went further into reaching the region, the principle that we have, the thing that we're here to really accomplish. I believe we took giant steps in 2004, and we did well. But I want to ask you, what about your life? Did you pursue your dream in 2004? Did you launch out into the deep? Did your life become more abundant? What happened for you in 2004? Is your personal life better? Is your personal home better? Then taking it to an eternal aspect, did you bring anyone into the kingdom of God in 2004? Whom did you disciple in 2004? Who did you minister and teach or preach the gospel to? The good news of Jesus Christ. What did you do that had eternal aspects in 2004? What did you do with it? Did you bring anyone in? You see, that's one of the best things that can possibly happen. Jesus said it this way about the good news, what we call the gospel. In Mark 16:15, he says, and then he told them, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone, everywhere. And I wonder, you know, how many of us did that? How many of us really shared the good news? Now, you know, we call it the gospel. It's the same word. That's what gospel means, is good news. We'll tell them about religion, but do you really tell them what Jesus wants to do in their life? How he really wants to make their life abundant? Did you tell them the good news of the kingdom? And then verse 16 says, anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved. And in just a little while, we're going to be doing that. And the announcement said to talk to me. You don't have to talk to me to get water baptized. Just come up here. I'll put you down. You can go home wet. We'll love it. You know? We got towels. But anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved. But anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. The good news has the ability to impact a life eternally. But we've got to share it. We've got to preach it. We've got to tell people about it. And so every year at this time, to help us kind of do that, I give you what we call personal impact cards. Now, everyone here should have two. You should also have gotten a pen. If you didn't, then raise your hand right now and they will bring them to you. Okay, guys, let's get them out. Hold them up until they get them to you. You need two, and you'll have a pen with LifeGate Church on it. Now, what we're going to do here in just a little while, and I don't want you to do anything right now. I just want you to listen. I want you to pay attention to what the Lord is saying, because your time is so important. And what we do on these things is we put names of people that we feel the Lord wants us to affect. And by doing what we're going to be doing, you're going to be committing that you're going to give some time, your precious time, to some people to help bring them into the kingdom of God. You're going to write identically. I want you to write the same names the same way on both cards. And in a little while, I'm going to ask you to come down. and have communion with us. But I also deposit one card into the container here. Keep the other card for yourself. Keep the other card and put it in a prominent place. And then after we've had deposited our card and had communion, then come over here and light a candle, and I'll explain just a little bit more about that in just a few minutes. But what we want to do for this, what we're trying to get us to do, is to keep our minds focused on people and give some eternal qualities to our years and some eternal qualities to our life. These are people who are hinging on condemnation. They are hinging on not coming into the kingdom of God. And so what we want to do is try to help give us a way to remember them. Every week they'll be prayed for here. Every day I come in here and I pray for them. Pastor Lance prays for them. So they get a lot of prayer. Now, what I did with mine last year is I had three cards. And you can have more than one if you like. There's plenty of cards. And on these three cards are 11 names. Out of my 11 people that I wrote on these cards who were not serving the Lord in the beginning of 2004, out of my 11, six of them, I want to say, are here today. I know some of them are. But I know that six of them have come into the kingdom. How have you done? What did you do with it? Was this just something that we went through? Or did you really take the opportunity and redeem the time? See, I take mine and I put a little hole in it and a little pipe cleaner on it. I don't smoke a pipe anymore, but I know what a pipe cleaner is. And I put a little hole in it and I hang it on my mirror in my truck. And a lot of times, the first thing in the morning, raise your hand now if you don't have them, and we'll make sure we get them. And the first thing in the morning as I come to work, I see this. Or if I go fishing, I see this. Or whatever I do, I see it every day. And I'm reminded. And it makes me think now, have I contacted this person recently? Have I prayed for them? What do I need to spend on them? Do I need to take them out? Do I just need to give them a phone call? What do I need to do? And it keeps them before me. And out of the 11, six came into the kingdom of God. So I want you to have these. In just a little while, we're going to take advantage of this thought. But I want you right now just to listen to me as I share with you about your card. And as the Lord speaks to you, a person. So your time is precious. Just don't write anyone on here. Write whomever that the Lord quickens to you. But as I talk to you, somebody's going to come to your mind. Write them down. Because that's who the Lord wants you to impact in the year 2005. Let me tell you about your card. The very top of it is the scripture that I just gave to you in Mark 16:15. And what it says is, go into all the world, preach the good news to everyone, everywhere. So these are people that you're going to commit to preach the good news. Not religion, but the good things of God to. How God wants to bless their lives, heal their homes, heal their bodies. Minister to them. Make them abundant. Make sure that they have finances. Make sure that they have a prosperous and abundant life. These are the people that you want to see come into the kingdom of God. And then there are a series of pictures under here. And those pictures are simply here to help provoke us to think. And that's what I'm going to be talking about for the next couple of minutes. The first picture that I have for you here is a picture that I intend to help you understand that there are people that we're all going to meet this year that need consoling. That's the first picture. This particular picture that I show you is a woman being consoled. And I was thinking, you know, that we all have people in our lives that need consoling. They don't need condemning. They need consoling. They've made bad decisions. They're hurting. Something's gone crazy in their life, and they need somebody to console them. And I was thinking about the woman at the well. Remember the story of Jesus and the woman at the well? Now, this woman had been married 5 times, and the person that she was living with when she was talking to Jesus wasn't the person that she was married. She wasn't married to the person. And so he didn't condemn her, did he? What did he do to her? He consoled her. He spent time with her. He told her, listen, I want to give you living water. I want your life to drink of something that will bring it life. I want to give you living water. So he took time with her and he consoled her. There's going to be people that you're going to cross their path with, you're going to engage in their lives, and they need you to console them. They don't need you to condemn them. They just need you to hug them, and they just need you to tell them it's going to be okay, and hey, I've got some answers, and if you'll come into the kingdom of God, Jesus Christ will help change your life. You've made some bad decisions, but God can still fix them. There are people you're going to need to talk to this year that have this need. They need to be consoled. And the second picture here that I have for you here is a picture of someone that will make us think of being sick. Sick. We all are going to meet people this year who are sick. Now, Jesus took every opportunity, like he did with the woman at the well, like he did with sick people. In fact, Jesus used the tough times of life as his outreach ministry. The way that Jesus reached people was touching their lives during tough times. For example, here I have you a scripture. It's in Matthew 4:23. And what it says is Jesus went throughout Galilee teaching in their synagogues and preaching the good news of the kingdom. But that's not all he did. He went also and healing every disease and sickness among the people. See, people were sick and were dying with diseases, and Jesus would use those tough times to touch their lives and bring them into the kingdom. And the next verse says, large crowds from Galilee, Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across the Jordan followed him. You see, his primary way of reaching people was touching them during the tough times of their lives. You're going to come across people, and you probably know someone right now who's sick. Maybe the Lord is telling you, you need to write their names down. You need to pray for them. You need to invest in their life. Never miss the opportunity to pray for somebody that's sick. Go by. You're at the hospital. Just run by their room and say, hey, can I pray for you? Take a 5 or 10 minutes and drop by and see someone. You're gonna cross their paths. You're going to engage in their lives, and they need you to touch them. And if you will, good possibility they'll come into the kingdom. The third picture I have for you here is like family problems. All of us are going to engage with people who have problems with their children or problems with their spouse. And they need help. And as you run across these people, as you engage in their lives, then you need to touch their lives. You need to tell them the good news. Listen, Jesus can fix your marriage. Jesus can fix that child. I was thinking about this, and there's a story in the Bible about a woman who lived in Phoenicia, and she came to Jesus, and she was a very well-off woman. She came to Jesus, and she wanted Jesus to cast a devil out of her child. Let me read you the verse here. It's in Mark 7:26, and it says, the woman was a Greek born in Syrian Phoenicia. She begged Jesus to drive the demon out of her daughter. Now, some of you believe you know that daughter, right? Some of you believe you know that child. In fact, some of you think you're raising that child. But listen, whoever that is needs Jesus. And Jesus used that opportunity. He took full advantage of that opportunity to bring that family into the kingdom. You're going to meet people this year who have family problems. You're going to meet people who are going through tough times. And what we want to do is what Jesus did, take advantage of every opportunity and bring them into the kingdom. Tell them the good news. And it's amazing how people respond to the good news, because the good news is the power of God unto salvation. You don't have to preach them a sermon. You don't have to quote scriptures to them. Just tell them the good news of Jesus, and they'll respond to it. The fourth one I have here is about religion. Just because someone's going to church, or maybe even a preacher, doesn't mean they're saved. There's a story in the Bible about a guy named Nicodemus. And Nicodemus was a very educated man. He was a preacher and a teacher of the Word of God. But yet Jesus told him, man, you're not saved. You're not even born again. Here's the verse in John chapter 3 and verse 3. Says, Jesus replied, I assure you, unless you are born again, you can never see the kingdom of God. See, Jesus used the opportunity to talk to this religious person and shake him up. Shake his theology. Shake him up. You see, we all know people that maybe go to church, but they really don't know Jesus. cross their lives, shake them up. You know, I'm thinking, you know, a lot of times we pity-patty through it and we meet people whose doctrines are all screwed up and we're a little, you know, standoffish as far as challenging them. Jesus wasn't like that. Did you know that? Jesus challenged Nicodemus. He says, man, you don't know what you're talking about. You know, I think it's time that some of us start challenging some people. Do you? There's some Nicodemuses in our city, in our region, that need to hear the good news. They know religion, they've heard about religion, but they need to hear about Jesus and His good news. Amen? And we all are going to engage some of these people this year. Maybe it's one of them that the Lord will have you write down. And then don't just write one, or don't just write seven. You can fill out the back two if you want to, but what I'm trying to get you to see is hear what the Lord is saying to you, because your time is precious. And don't just write names down of people that you know are lost. We all have a bunch of those folks. What I'm asking you to do is let the Lord tell you who to write here and who to spend your time on, because your time is precious, and who you're going to commit to make sure they hear the good news from you this year. And then the last picture is a broken heart. Broken heart. We all are going to engage people this year who have broken heart, broken dreams. You know, you hardly go a day without finding some of these people. Things have gone crazy in their life. Their spouse left them. Maybe a spouse passed away. Maybe they've had to suffer bankrupt and their dreams are shattered. We all meet people like this. But see, the Lord really wants us to engage them and tell them, listen, God can heal your broken heart. God has a plan for you. God has a purpose for you. He has a hope for you. He has a future already laid out for you. And if you will just come to Him, if you will come into His kingdom, He will lead you to the path where you can experience the good things that God has for you. Now I want you to think about what I've shared with you. Who is it that you know that needs Jesus? Is it someone who's maybe needs consoling? They've made some awful decisions, you know, and they just need somebody to hug them and say, hey, it's going to be okay, but you need to get close to Jesus. Is it going to be someone who's sick? Ask the Lord. Lord, is there someone that I know that is sick that I can invest my time into? I want to pray for them. I want to be used to heal their bodies. Maybe they're mentally sick. Maybe they have an addiction. All of those are sicknesses. Jesus healed all manner of sickness and disease. If you have someone like that, how about someone that's going through family situations and family problems, rebellious children? Maybe that's the family that you need to write. Well, maybe if you'll write their name down there, they'll respond to the drawing power of Jesus and Father God and come into the kingdom of God. Maybe you know some religious people. Maybe you know some Nicodemuses. Well, write it down. Call them. Invest them. Get them to come to some of the things we do here. Maybe you can just shake them up with your theology versus their theology. Now, know what you're doing. Don't make a fool of yourself. But Jesus did that. And maybe you know some people that have broken hearts and that really need to come in and be healed. Jesus wants to do that. You see, take every opportunity so that next year when I'm standing here at this time and I ask you, what did you do with it? You'll say, man, I brought people into the kingdom. My life changed because I was used by God. I went up. I didn't stay on dead level. I ascended. My life's better. I can tell you some good things that happened in my life. Will you be able to do that next year? Now, what we're going to do here in just a few minutes is I'm going to ask you, hopefully you've written the names down now, or not, maybe this is time for you to do that. I'm going to ask you to come down and take one, just one, of your cards and put it into this container right here. And then Lance, Pastor Lance, is going to serve on one side. I'm going to serve on the other side. We wanted the musicians to come down first so that they can go up and play as we minister to the rest of you. We want them to come up and receive their communion and then come and light a candle. Now, the reason I ask you to do it like this, come, deposit your card, have communion, pray as long as you want, and then come light a candle. The candle simply represents that you desire, you're making a commitment to be a light for that person, or for those people. That you want to be a light for them. You are a light of the world. You're the salt of the earth. And what you're going to be doing is you're simply saying, I want to be a light for these people. I'm committing myself, I'm committing my life to be a light to them. So that's what we want to do. Then we're going to come back. After we've done that, I'm going to change clothes. If you will, if you're going to be baptized today during this time, if you'll go back and change clothes if you need, I'm going to go change clothes. We'll come back out and we'll have water baptism. How many of you, though, are really wanting to see 2005 be a very good year? Are you really? You want to change some things in 2005? Would you raise your hand if that's you? Would you give the Lord a shout and a hand clap? Amen. 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 Well, we're going to do it. It's going to happen.